Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life center style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome again to the Transformation Cafe. We thank you for being here live. If it's your 9 o'clock on Tuesday nights here, Pacific Standard Time, and if you're checking us out on demand, we thank you for checking us out, you know, while you're just driving around or whatever people love to do, if you're jogging or driving or all those wonderful things, too, because that's just kind of what we're going to be talking about tonight with our part two on different practices and wellness. So we've got a couple of diners here tonight. I'm sure there are going to be a few more people popping on the table. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight? Oh, do we have Mr. Jamie? Oh, he popped off. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. So glad to be here.
Great, great. How is it in wonderful San Diego tonight?
You know, this afternoon was glorious. It was beautiful and warm, and it was definitely beach weather.
Okay, and I make everybody else in America, you know, and the rest of the world, depending on where they are, going, I wish I was there. Okay.
That is okay. Just telling us to be quiet.
Yeah, really. I don't want to hear about it. It's okay. Okay.
Miss Marvin, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am great. I am great. And how is it in the Inland Empire tonight?
Oh, it's good. We have a new kitty, and I don't remember if I ever had a real kitty or it's just been so long I forgot, but it's like having a baby.
Aw, and it is like having a baby. So there you go.
Yeah.
They stay up at night and all those wonderful things until they settle in a little bit. So there you go. That's all good. So we've got a baby in the cafe. That's exciting. That's exciting. And Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Sorry, something dropped out of my phone here. So this is Mr.
Well,
Jamie calling
that
from
happened.
Seattle.
How is it in Seattle tonight?
It's still kind of frosty.
We've had this
layer of fog for about 7 days, and I'm getting tired of it.
It's foggy?
Yeah.
Wow. What's with that? Has it ever done that before?
It's the temperature inversion, and it doesn't happen very often, but, you know, where the hot or the it's trapped under a layer, and you know how the particulates kind of go up and everybody's driving around, so it's not really good for people's breathing.
Yeah, I bet.
Right.
Have you ever had it like a whole week like this before?
No, they haven't, in fact. So
okay.
That's kind of unusual. But we're supposed to get some rain tonight, and it's just been stagnant air. There hasn't been any wind or anything.
Huh, how interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the jet streams have changed. We've been talking about that for a while on the show. And definitely we can see how it's been affecting all the weather pretty much all over the planet. So,
well,
y'all
had Southern California some kind of weather spell like not too long ago, right?
Yeah, we all had, that's when we get southern here. We all had a cold front that just kind of wanted to linger for a while. And then we had a high pressure thing that we actually just broke today. So thank God for that, because it's been very, very dry here, and they're talking that by the end of the week we're going to have a few days of showers, which we definitely need water, so that's a good thing. Yes, yes.
Very good.
So tonight we're going to talk about part two. We were talking last week about just practices of wellness, different things that people do just on a regular basis for just being in their mindfulness and their beingness instead of being in, you know, doings, having times when we just kind of slow down and have different things that really help us to keep balanced and things like that. So anybody want to share what they have going on when it comes to senses of practices? Gloria, is there something you do on a regular basis that really helps you to kind of keep yourself in a centered place?
Breathe.
You breathe. That's a good thing. Breathing is always
thing. It sounds very simple, but a lot of people will forget. They get all caught up, and you get caught up in the stress. And just taking a moment, even at least once a day, but where you breathe consciously, where you are present
mm-hmm.
in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and you just take that moment, that the cause for pause.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, and you just focus on the breathing so that you're doing it with intention.
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel it go through the body, the relaxation, because breath helps to break the thought pattern that you're going through, and it helps to relax the muscles. It interacts with the electrical synapses within the body. So it's similar to when you have a hiccup. A hiccup makes you, you know, jerks you out of the state that you're in, and the breath will move you from where you are into a space of relaxation.
Okay, cool. Well, I know that, you know, in a lot of the different practices that I've learned over the years, yoga and also meditation are both very focused in the breath.
Right. Mindful breathing.
Mindful breathing, yeah, that mindful breathing. How about you, Marvin?
Well, the deep breathing is really important, and I think what happens is most people, when they are active doing something, they forget to do the deep breaths. And it's like they're too busy to remember to go and let it out. And that's also cleansing and purification in the lungs and a lot of other parts of the body. And so that is one of the things that I do on a regular basis every day. I can't say that I sit for a period of time or anything, but I do continually remind myself to take that breath. And a lot of times, especially if we're anxious or concerned about something or have something in our minds, what we really need to do is just, like Gloria said, you stop and you just take a couple of nice deep breaths. Just remember to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I've caught myself a few times in traffic where all of a sudden I just needed to take a big breath.
Well, and you know, you think about it, it's such a simple, when they used to say stop and smell the roses or the flowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And technically that's what that is. It's just taking a moment to stop, to be focused, and to just be in the moment and breathe.
Mm-hmm. And just even that mindfulness of just being able to appreciate the nature that's around you. So, you know, it's like, let's take that for a second and really expand it on a level that it's another thing that, you know, a lot of people have been talking about too, is, you know, taking a few moments to actually, you know, go sit in nature, walk in nature, be in a place where you really can just slow yourself down and just appreciate, you know, looking at a tree and the branches and the leaves and how beautiful the sunlight looks through the leaves and things like that, or even just watching a branch moving back and forth and gently all the leaves and branches moving and with the wind, and how peaceful and really centering that can be as a practice.
Well, you know, and as part of the biofeedback therapies, when they developed it, they did different studies, and one of them showed that positive and measurable result of connecting with nature and lowering blood pressure.
Would you want this?
Say it again, Gloria.
I said the studies that they did when they were starting with biofeedback, one of the things that they measured was connecting with nature in response to lowering blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So just reconnecting that moment, breathing, stopping, being in the moment with nature, like you were saying, and it helps to lower the blood pressure.
I mean, you know, I was going to make a comment about, well, have you ever seen a stressed-out camper? But, I mean, you know.
A stressed-out what?
Camper. Somebody camping,
uh-oh,
you know. And I thought, well, no, I've seen stressed-out campers. I think that's kind of different, you know. It's kind of they bring their busyness with them when they come camping. You know,
well,
you can tell somebody who's a weekend camper as somebody who's been there for a little while, like, you know, they're going to be there for a week or so, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say, too. It depends on what kind of camper, where you're at.
Because
if you're up
in
the middle of the mountains and you've taken off and you're gone, you know you're out, then it's totally different. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, are you bringing your RV and you're just kind of popping in and out and you've got all your regular things you've been listening to with your TV and computers and all that other kinds of stuff, or are you actually just, you know, being low to the ground and having a tent and kind of living a little simpler? I love it because Gloria shared stories with me in the past where she's actually gone camping in her tent, you know, in her car, in her truck. She would take her truck and she'd go out there.
I forgot about that.
Just doing some camping, and I think that's great. I think that's great because, you know, we don't need to have very much for something like that, just to have the basics. and be able to just allow yourself to be in a place where you can really slow down. So, and Marvin also, go ahead.
Anytime Robin says, I remember Gloria telling me, I'm like, oh, no, what did I say?
Is she going to keep it okay for radio, right? What are we talking about here? And the same thing with Marvin. Marvin has this wonderful area in her home. It's like a covered patio that's a part of her backyard that you kind of feel like you're in this little tent because it's a awning cover that, you know, you can go out there and they've got nice chairs and you just kind of, it's nice and cozy out there and yet you're outside. So it's just so nice. You know, it's kind of like going camping without really having to go too far from your back door. Huh, Marvin?
Exactly. And I think the other thing, part about it is because, you know, we have plants, not an overabundance of them, but a lot of them I started myself, and I think just being able to slow down, even if it's walking in your own backyard or if you're in a condo complex or stopping when you're walking through your home and appreciate something. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we get so busy that we neglect or don't appreciate some of the things that surround us because we don't take time to really look. And I think that it's really important because everything that you are, everything that we are, is a gift. And if we can just appreciate it and honor it, I mean, even if it's something as simple as a picture that somebody gave you, or, you know, because when you do that, what you're doing is you're pulling in the love, you're pulling in your higher self, because your higher self, too often we get so busy and meshed in what's going on in the physical world that we forget about who we really are and what we're really here for.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think that is?
It's getting caught up in life and forgetting to stop and remember you're getting centered and focused and grounded.
I know that we're here as children of God or a higher power, whatever you want to call it, learning to be adults of that higher power and to learn who we really are on more than just a physical level. And you can call it, you know, the emotional, the spiritual. It's all part and parcel because we're all part of the whole thing. It just depends on what we allow to take over at any given point in time in our life. And that changes mm-hmm. from moment to moment.
Mm-hmm. One thing I was thinking about when I was thinking, because I've done actual workshops where, you know, you go through the part of practicing mindfulness, being in this place where, you know, you would, because I've, believe it or not, I've actually done a whole day where I didn't talk. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. with just a few other, it was a group of people, and we all had different practices that day that we did. You know, we would eat mindfully, and with each mouthful, we would really just really take time to really, you know, feel the texture of the food, feel the taste of the food, watch the process of our mouth actually, you know, what it did with the food and what it felt to swallow, and just be in a different level of intimacy with that kind of, just a daily thing that we, so many people, you know, don't think of, you know, being that way of really taking it at just a different level. So, but you know, one thing that I was thinking about with that is like, there's so many things that we have a tendency to just judge or have pre-expectations about when it comes to even just levels of mindfulness. And it can cause some traps for people where you're judging yourself on something instead of just simply enjoying what's in front of you for what it is.
Or judging somebody else.
Yes, or judging someone else. Yeah. I had a discussion with a friend of mine the other day. We were talking about meditation, and she was being very critical of herself about how she didn't think she was doing it right. You know? And there's just so many things about meditation. Go ahead. I knew somebody was going to jump in on that one.
I'm sure she was doing it wrong. No.
Now there's going to be people going, what? There's a way to do it wrong? What's going on?
Well, then, and then there's the other people who are going, oh, please stop that, Gloria.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Actually, I'm enjoying the entertainment.
That was my sarcastic way of saying there is no way to do it wrong. Yeah, exactly, exactly. And if you know, it's because, well, she was like, oh, my mind starts chattering, and I'm not really breathing, and I've got all these things, and I start la, 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 and I'm like, and that's all good, because it shows you the contrast of being in peaceful mind, being in an active mind, and I could, you know, pause myself and go back to just being the observer and moving through that instead of having it be something we judge, you know.
Well, and the best part is when you get into Zazen and you think of nothing, and then suddenly you go, oh, wait, I wasn't thinking of anything. I wonder if I got there.
Yeah, the whole thing. Now, explain what Zazen is, just in case we have people listening and they've never heard that term before.
Zazen, Z-A-Z-E-N, is when you are meditating and you get to a place during that point of meditation where you think of nothing and you are aware of nothing. You are basically in a space of focused, unfocused. And I know that it sounds that it
impossible.
Is...
impossible. Impossible. Some people say, that's impossible. How could I ever get to that place?
Well, see, and there is that moment in time, and then when you come back, you suddenly go, oh, I achieved it. Well, the moment you think is when you are no longer in it. So you cannot consciously know that you're in it, but you realize when you come back from being in Zazen that you were there, because your body, everything is completely refreshed. You just feel 100 times better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting that place. When your body goes to sleep at night, it allows for it to repair. When you go into meditation and you reach Zazen, it's as if your mind has finally had a chance to sleep and to not think of anything and to not be stressed out and taxed. And it's a wonderful space to be in.
Is it actually sleeping, or is it actual just a place of, I kind of think of it as a place of just accepted expansion.
Yeah, it's not sleeping. I was using that as a metaphor to show that the brain is actually resting.
Resting. Okay,
because
so resting is super different.
You're not thinking.
Right.
Right, you're not thinking
right.
of anything. Yes.
Right, because I could hear somebody say, well, my brain is sleeping, what? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, I was talking about how when the body rests, it does nothing. Well, when the brain reaches Zazen, that's when it has ceased to think. And so you are not consciously... mentally engaged in a thought.
So it's resting.
Right. It is. It's allowing that
your
brain to stop.
Your brain is being. I think your brain is being. It's just being
yeah.
there. It's like I am nowing. Your brain is nowing. Yeah, it's nowing. It's nowing and it's knowing. It's such a thing. Nowing and you're knowing and knowing and you're nowing. People are like, what? What does that mean? But
well,
I've had situations where I've been in that Zazen, and then I come back out and I go, is there something wrong with me? Because I had that happen, and then I go, maybe that's not a good thing that I've got, like, nothing going on. But I know, like, Eckhart Tolle has talked about that, where he finally came to that place and realized that, you know, what that really was for him, and just a sense of just coming to a new realization of connecting to things in just such a different way.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. It's a wonder. You feel so much better when you come back. People talk about going on a holiday. You know, they say when they get back from vacation, they say, wow, I got back from vacation. I need a vacation from my vacation. And
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's basically a vacation from your vacation when you reach
mm-hmm.
that point. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Marvin?
I'm just listening.
You're just listening. Oh, okay. Yeah, that whole level of being in the beingness of the nowingness. So you know, are there ways that you guys practice nowing? Or is it just coming from a level of appreciation when you're just in that moment where you really, you know, take a breath in and be in the now and just recognizing just what's before you? Is it just simple as that?
It can be, but I think the most important thing is sometimes we have so many little things going on in our mind. The deep breath is nice, but to take a deep breath and just pay attention to the moment where you're at. Even if you just look at your surroundings a little bit, but to bring yourself to here and now, because a lot of the times we're doing one project and are already thinking about the next project or the next telephone call or the next thing we have to do. And just to be able to slow down, and it sounds like a big deal, and learning how to do it can be, but just like Gloria said, you slow down, you take a few deep breaths, and just take a look at where you are. And I know every one of you, myself included, there have been times when I've gone off in space and had no idea where I was. Mm-hmm. And that's very comparable to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just
well, and you know, like, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, Marvin wasn't finished.
Yes,
oh,
you are.
Go ahead, Gloria.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that, you know, if you ever find yourself in a circumstance, because we're talking about focusing in on the things that are around us, and so if we're ever in a place where the things around us are not calming and we can't connect in with nature, I will take a breath and I focus on my heartbeat, and I'll feel the heartbeat inside my body, because just like an infant is comforted by the binaural beat of the heartbeat, we are also, and being able to sense the heartbeat within our body, you know, I can see my, like the pulse, I can see my eyes, the vision can fluctuate, or I can feel the heart and how it vibrates in my shoulders or my fingertips. And so when you take the breath, if there's nothing around you that you can't focus on that is calming, go inside and just focus inward and listen to your heartbeat. And get back in touch with your own rhythm.
Yeah, I can imagine people are listening to this conversation and saying, I can feel my heartbeat in my fingers.
Or my eyes.
I can feel my heartbeat in my eyes. I mean, you know, yeah, and when it comes to that level of just slowing oneself down and really just getting to that stillness and that centeredness, that the body can just come to just being alive in such a, it's very much of a subtle thing, but yet it's such a new level of awareness. That's why yoga is so good when it comes to another level of practice. For me, I've been doing Kundalini yoga probably for 20 years, and it always amazes me, even, you know, from day to day, how just moving with the breath, connecting with myself, and just having that more expanded awareness when it comes to breath, along with connecting with your body and, you know, encouraging it to be moving instead of just kind of going through the motions. You're really being with the body and witnessing it as well, you know, internally and externally. It's really a wonderful experience to have that. So I think that's the reason why yoga is really taken off and people are appreciating it at a different level now than they used to.
I agree.
So everybody's agreeing. Okay. Hey, I got like three people going, yeah, that's good, that's good. So anybody want to talk about walking? Is anybody doing walking practices?
Well, I walk all the time. But I don't do it, I don't think, like a lot of people do it. I will park further away, quite a bit further away than I need to from a store I might be going into, or even if it's just from one room to the other, and pay attention to what's going on during that process.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I like to do is when I walk, like in the neighborhood, I like to take a look at mailboxes to see different people's creativity and things like that. Because
oh, I thought again, you were going to say you were checking out the mail. Okay, all right.
And how did you sell that?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Get you riled up. That one doesn't take much, so there you go.
Jamie picked it up, didn't he?
I know. He sure did. Well, the other day I winded up walking in a labyrinth. Have any of you guys ever done that?
Yeah.
I've done labyrinths, and I have to tell you, by the time I get to the center, I'm so agitated that it's like, oh, let me just get out of this thing.
There's one in Grand Terrace, California, that's actually at a monastery. There's a small monastery in that town. And the way that, just to get tell people what a labyrinth is, just in case somebody doesn't know, it's a circular walking path, and sometimes it's just a circle that goes all the way to the center. But the majority of the ones they have designed kind of goes back and forth. It works its way all the way to the center, working its way around a circle, and then you go in the circle, and the idea would be to be there for a few moments, meditate, or just kind of contemplate, and then allow yourself to walk out again. And most of them are designed where you have 32 turns to the right and 32 turns to the left, and they've done scientific studies to show that that's a way of balancing the brain. So it's a very interesting practice to come from a place where you would actually walk in something like that, where you're in a labyrinth. So it's kind of an interesting practice to have and be in there. So I did it with a group of other people, and it was interesting because one lady wound up bypassing a whole section because she was at a place where she was supposed to turn, and she went straight instead. So I had been one of the first people to be in the labyrinth, that she wound up being ahead of me. So we knew that she had, you know, bypassed one of the patterns, kind of thing. And what was interesting is to watch how everybody kind of reacted to that, because nobody stopped her and corrected her to say, hey, you need to go back and turn, girlfriend. You're not done with that section of the labyrinth, okay? So I was just, and part of me was just like, wow, look at her. She doesn't have to do the whole thing. How good for her. So I didn't even say anything, too. I was like, hey. So in some ways, they say that when you walk a labyrinth, it's ways that you would be interacting with other people and the way you interact with yourself when it comes to just things in life. So it's very interesting. It's like a micro experience of yourself and the way you do or don't do things. So it's interesting.
Well, you know, every time I hear talking about a labyrinth, and I understand the practice and the calming effect, and you know, just being mindful as you walk through it, and it is, it's very effective and consoling. And yet, every time I hear the word labyrinth, I think about the story that I heard that had the Minotaur chasing Hercules.
And it was just this name of a story. You know how that goes. Yeah.
I know.
Well, and when you think of labyrinth, I don't know why, but I always think of, you know, like a hedge, like a maze, you know, with this hedge, trying to get yourself out of something like that, you know. So it's like you can't even see. So it's a really kind of, it's a totally different experience than a labyrinth, because a maze would be something that much more confusing, and, you know, really coming from a level of using your senses as opposed to just, you know, watching what's in front of you and following a pattern kind of a thing. So,
well, and then you take
you,
it to another level. Then you take it to another level and add in Harry Potter's experiences where the hedges are attacking.
Oh, I know, yeah. Wow. Let's let him go there. Because, you know, he was like a kid. Did he have dragons following him in there or something like that? I don't remember. It's something like that. He had something following him, that's for sure. I'm sure it was You-Know-Who. You-Know was in there waiting for him. Yeah, I'm sure it was You-Know-Who. Yeah, Voldemort. So there you go.
The name was him. He who shall not be named.
Yeah, You-Know-Who. We don't talk about him. But anyway.
Right.
How about you, Marvin? Have you ever been in the labyrinth?
Yeah, actually, there's one at the U of R that is miniature scale of a very famous one in France. And a friend of mine who is a musician, composer, pianist in Palm Springs took me there because he's from France.
Right.
He really wanted to see it, so that was kind of interesting.
It's in Palm Springs?
It's just a very small scale. No, the labyrinth itself is at the University of Redlands.
Oh, the University of Redlands?
Yeah.
How interesting is that?
On the campus.
Wow.
So,
very, very interesting. Well, we've got 30 seconds left, guys. That was a fast show. So, you know, we really, anybody want to have a last word about being in the moment and just, you know, honoring yourself for the practice?
Jamie. Go, Jamie.
He's not on. He keeps dropping off. Seattle's in the fog, and they're still kind of dropping on and off the switchboard here. So anyway, so just taking time to find something that you find joy in, find something that you really gives you a sense of comfort, and whether it be moving or writing, painting, any kind of creativity, cooking. Even cooking can be something that's a wonderful practice for yourself. And when you allow yourself to come from that level of being in the breath. And watching,
well,
being the witness, you know?
And being you. Find some little thing you enjoy.
Being you. Like getting a kitten and enjoying the kitten, that's for sure.
Well,
being you with a kitten.
But we are having a good time with it.
Okay, good. Well, we look forward to hearing some more adventures with the kitty. So we thank you all
great.
For joining us tonight. We'll see you next time here at the cafe.
Night, everybody.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.